On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, I'm here with Adam Smith of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim organization. Adam, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Chris. So I'm from upstate New York, went to school at SUNY Cortland, a small D3 school up there. In my time up there, I was an exercise science major. While I was up there, you know, I'd spend my winter and summer breaks doing various internships and baseball camps, and started at Binghamton University doing a little bit with Brian McGovern out there, Lori Gleason. Then I went on to Syracuse, did some internships up there with their football and lacrosse. Started working with William Hicks, Nate Peoples, Matt Mance, Wayne Tuckson, a lot of great people up there that I learned from. And then I also played baseball at SUNY Cortland, so got a little bit of baseball experience. And after I graduated, got an internship out at the NSCA out in Colorado for 3 months, which was really kind of a cool experience. And then from there, did the NSCA assistantship under Coach Ron McKeefrey at Eastern Michigan. And then basically from Eastern Michigan, went on to start my time with the Angels.
And how long have you been with the Angels now?
This will be my fifth season.
Fifth season, gotcha. It's a pretty interesting path, man. And the Cortland thing kind of hits for me. We were just talking off camera. I played a little bit of baseball at Fredonia, and you guys would always come in and handle us pretty good. So we're not going to go into that too much.
I'll try to bring it up later.
So I want to get right into it, man. You've been in baseball a little while now, and so I'm interested to hear your best professional baseball story that you have.
Okay, so I'm going to go a little bit of not comedy on it, but something that a lot of other pro baseball strength coaches can kind of relate to. Some, you know, we have a lot of good stories being in the minor leagues, and a lot of things pop up. And so it was my first season in 2016. I was in the Midwest League with Burlington Bees. We're on the road in Beloit, Wisconsin. And so I scheduled my first gym bus, right? And so me and the trainer go to Walmart on the bus to pick up the pregame food. You know, you get the peanut butter and jelly, the sandwiches, get some grapes, some strawberries. So we're good to go. We're about to head back to the hotel and pick up the players, drop off the food before we have to go to the gym. And our bus driver on the way out of the Walmart parking lot drives clear into a light pole, and grapes go flying, strawberries are flying, all the pregame food's all over the place. I'm looking at the trainer like, what the heck is going on right now? And got some pretty good damage on the bus. The cops had to come kind of interview all of us, make sure, you know, everything was, you know, safe, that kind of stuff. Bus was damaged pretty good. So then we had to walk back to the hotel, you know, without a bus. And I show up and guys are like, you know, where's our bus driver? What's going on here? I'm like, oh, well, you know, I try to explain to him, like, oh, well, we're in the parking lot with the pregame food, and he just ran into a light pole, damaged the bus pretty good. So we're not going to have a lift bus today. And they're all looking at me like, no, really, like, where's our bus driver at? And I'm like, nah, dude, seriously. And that was my first experience of being on the road in pro ball. I was like, what the heck is going on?
I feel like everybody has a minor league bus story. I definitely have some of my own, but I think you were probably known as like the guy with ultimate feel after that, if you banged the first gym bus of the year.
Yeah. Thought I was gonna get fired after that. I couldn't even get one lift in with the guys my first time in.
Meanwhile, all the guys are singing your praise for canceling a gym bus for
first gym bus.
That's awesome, man. Like I said, I think everybody has a minor league gym bus or a minor league bus story. So it's very relatable for most people who are probably listening to this, to be honest.
Yeah, 100%.
So what do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing?
I mean, I'd say maybe there's a couple, but not that I'm crazy, but there might be a couple. I'd say for me, how important that I think environment is. I think environment is probably hands down the single most important aspect of any strength and conditioning program. I mean, I've seen plenty of poor environment places with phenomenal programs and not get results. And I've also seen plenty of places with the most basic program with a phenomenal environment and get phenomenal results. And I mean, there's a lot of things that go into environment, and I mean, that's culture. I mean, you got coaches. I think training partners are very important. I think a sense of community. I think positive energy is very important. So for me, it all starts with that environment. And if you can create that environment that guys want to be a part of, guys want to be there, they look forward to lifting, they have a good time while they're there. I think it makes it easier for guys to get their work in. And if you got that environment, you can learn the other stuff as you go, and you can learn, you know, how to make better programs and that kind of stuff. I really value a very solid environment.
Yeah, I'm there with you, man. My first year when I was in rookie ball, our weight room was the concession stand for the high school football team. And we had a lat pull down, some old dumbbells, one bench, and one squat rack. And it was like, you know, those pieces of interlocking floor. It was like 3x3 of those. And fit, you know, a few people in there at a time, but just the manager was like, you know what, we're going to make the most out of this and we're going to get these guys to work. And so he called it the dungeon, and he's like, hey, get your work in the dungeon. Like, and he'd be in there working his ass off, and the guys would see it and like, they'd want to come in and train. And I was like, I mean, this is a terrible space. Like, you know, if you look at it logistically, but guys were getting after it. Our training was great. And it was all because of the environment that we had created with the situation we had. I fully believe it.
That's phenomenal. That's awesome. Just owning that little space you got right there.
That's all it was, man. It was, we called it the dungeon, and they legit, it was the concession stand. And I mean, that's a rookie ball story in itself, you know, having a concession stand weight room. But we made the most of it, and it was awesome. And guys got in there, you know, five people, six people at a time, partnered up and got their work in. And you know, that was it. It was just, we didn't know anything else. Like, we didn't have any other choice. It was come in, put your work in, and get out. And the environment we created was just, it was awesome. And, you know, I look back on that, and that was some of the best training I've ever seen in minor league baseball. And it was in a concession stand. It is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's so, awesome. Yeah, for sure, man. It was really, and like I said, that's a whole rookie ball story. That's a whole different thing, but yeah, at least the training environment was good.
Yeah, that's cool.
So what makes a strength and conditioning coach successful in your mind? Maybe just in general, and then more specifically in professional baseball.
Okay, so in general for me, I mean, the core root foundation of it, I think you got to have a solid understanding of the sciences, you know, anatomy, physiology, biomechanics, physics, that kind of stuff. I think you need to have a solid understanding of lifting, sprinting, jumping techniques and proficiencies in those. And I think you need to have an ability to coach and communicate, you know, with the athletes and with the coaching staff, you know, wherever you may be, not necessarily, you know, pro ball. Then when it comes to pro ball, I think number one, you got to have an ability to adapt. You know, we've just talked about a couple of different situations here in the lower levels where you really have to be able to fly by the seat of your pant and make adjustments pretty quick. When I was at NSCA, Scott Caulfield had you know, in his office, a sign that said the great ones adjust. And that really hit me when I got to pro ball. So ability to adapt, a knowledge of sport specific movements. And, you know, that goes, they can go in any sport, but, you know, especially in baseball where it's very technically sound sport, I think a knowledge of sport specific movement is important. And then three, creativity, and just being able to be creative on the spot with different, you know, situations and being innovative when it comes to creativity.
Yeah, baseball will bring out the best or the worst in your ability to create new things. And you got a TRX and a power block and a med ball, and it's like, all right, how can we possibly get a lower body session in with these three pieces of equipment? Yes. And not only that, it's underneath the bleachers where the game is about to start. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you really got to learn to adjust, and you have to be creative with your stuff in professional baseball, especially at the lower levels where the facilities aren't as good and there isn't as much equipment that's accessible to you. You got to be creative. I agree 100%. Do you have advice for others in the field, maybe young coaches who are looking to get in, or even just older coaches who have been around a while? Just any advice that you want to share with us?
I mean, in general, for old and young, is continue to learn, you know, basically try to find the new trends that are coming out and make sure that, you know, you don't always get stuck in, you know, the ways that you've been 10 years ago. We always have to evolve as coaches, and sometimes you kind of want to fight it a little bit at the beginning when it's a little bit uncomfortable for you to, because it's outside of your scope of knowledge and that kind of stuff. But you really want to continue to learn and obviously evolve, because the game is evolving. But for younger strength coaches, I would say just get around a coach that – find a coach that is where you want to be and go learn from that coach. I mean, that's kind of how I was when I was coming up. I was trying to learn from as many of the best strength coaches that I could from kind of all over. I started in New York from all the coaches that I had access to there, and that I kind of tried to go across the country and learn from whoever I could. So figure out who's where you want to be and go learn from them.
Yeah, I'm 100% on board with you there, man. And for me, you know, selfishly, this podcast has opened up a lot of doors for me to talk to coaches without feeling like I'm bothering them. But honestly, like, if you're a coach and you want to learn from somebody, just reach out to them. Like, it's, you know, most coaches are going to be good about getting back to you and answering any questions and getting on a phone call or grabbing lunch. And, you know, even if they're not, a lot of them, they're going to respectfully decline or push you to somebody else. Hey, I've been really busy, but you know, you could talk to this guy and he'll help you out. Like, it's just a good community to be in for the most part, from what I've kind of found. And for me, I've always been a little uncomfortable just reaching out like, hey, you want to talk shop, unless I have like a legit reason. So selfishly, this podcast has helped me do that. But I've learned that you don't need the podcast to do that. Like, you can just reach out and coaches will be more than willing to share info with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's great advice for any young coach, because we've been there in terms of feeling a little bit like, I don't want to bother someone, but just reach out. We're all more than welcome to, you know, have a little conversation with you, whether it's, you know, Zoom, over the phone, FaceTime, whatever it is. You know, we're all always, you know, welcome to helping out young coaches getting into the field.
Yeah, for sure, man. This field has been really, really good to me. And you know, I want other people to experience what I've got to experience. So if they want to reach out, you know, don't ever be afraid. And even if you get turned down, I mean, that's the worst that's going to happen. They're going to say no, they don't want to talk, and you just reach out to somebody else.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And then to your first point, continuing to learn, that kind of transitions me to my next question. Where are you going for continuing it? Are there any books you'd recommend, podcasts you're listening to, seminars you're attending? Where are you going to keep evolving?
Yeah, so I mean, honestly, one of my little tricks is just get around people who are smarter than me, you know, as frequently as possible, and one, try to learn from them, and they also point me in pretty good directions in terms of the new trends that are coming out and stuff that they're researching as well. And that's not just strength and conditioning. You know, obviously, we have our, you know, guys who are specialties here and what they bring, and also we have our position coaches who are always, you know, on the up and coming of what's going on in the hitting world and the pitching world as well. So that's like a very, you know, general answer for podcasts. The Just Fly podcast, I think, is phenomenal. I actually just had one of my really good friends, Nick Cirio, on there with a very good podcast on like sport specific training for rotational athletes, which was very, very good. So that's a great podcast. And then seminars, the NSCA coaches conference is one that I've really liked in the past. Schedule-wise, I haven't been able to attend the past couple of years, but it was very knowledgeable when I went. And then one that's kind of been intriguing my interest the past couple of years is Z Health. It's a lot about neurocentric training and how that basically everything we do starts with the brain, and how learning about neurology and how that affects movement and that kind of stuff has been very intriguing. I've been able to attend one of their courses, but I'd like to continue to attend a couple more there in the past, but it's something that's kind of piqued my interest as of late.
I'll have to look into that one. I legitimately have not heard of that one. Z Health is what it was called.
Yeah, Z-Health. Yeah, Z-Health. they have a bunch of different hump phases. There's one like visual vestibular training, one that's more rehabilitative training, one more linked to to sports skill training. So it's pretty, it's definitely, the one that I attended, I was mind blown for an entire 4 days, and I still had to go back and re-up what we had learned about, just because it was so in depth, and I'm not an expert on neurology by any means. So it was definitely outside of my comfort zone, but it was very impressive.
Those are honestly the best ones, man. Like you said, sometimes we're afraid of like new information because it's uncomfortable and it's outside of that, you know, zone of our knowledge. But when you can go to something like that and you're like feeling just absolutely overwhelmed, like, and then you take time and you sit down and you digest your notes and you digest what they've taught you, you're like, holy shit, there's a whole bunch of new stuff that I need to learn now. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely have to look into that one. I appreciate that recommendation.
Absolutely.
I'd like to do a lightning round with you. You got a little bit of time for me?
For sure.
Cool, man. So four questions. First question is, who is your biggest influence in the field of strength and conditioning?
Oof. Now you got to throw this one in the lightning round.
I'll let you go as long or as short as you want on the answers. And caveat, you can have more than one influence.
man, geez. I just want to list off everyone that I pretty much listed earlier. I mean, Ron McKeefrey's probably been the biggest influence on me that I've worked with so far. But I mean, everyone that I've, you know, pretty much worked for, with the people at Binghamton and Syracuse and the NSCA, has have helped me. Al Sandoval getting me, you know, my first job in pro baseball has obviously been a huge help to me. Obviously, my guys, all the staff here at with the Angels have just been, you know, unbelievable. From the things I've learned from Ryan Croton and Lee Fiocchi and everyone else on staff here with the Angels. And then just recently this offseason, I've been working with actually some of my buddies from back home that I hadn't, you know, really seen in a couple of years, that at Athlete's Warehouse, that I just mentioned his name, Nick Sirio and Matt June and Cassie at Athlete's Warehouse. Those people are, you know, very, very smart, especially with the special strength training that involves baseball. So they've recently had a very big influence on me this past off season.
Yeah, I like when people give more than one person on this question, to be honest. Like, I think we're all kind of, you know, the sum of all of our influences, and everybody kind of plays a specific role in creating who we are as coaches. So the more the merrier. I'm not too upset about that at all.
All right, good.
One piece of equipment to train with, what would it be?
I got to go barbell.
Biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally? This is the one where you're going to break my heart, huh?
Yeah, so this is where I got to bring up the SUNY Fredonia, SUNY Cortland here. 2015 National Champions Division III Baseball, SUNY Cortland.
Yeah, I knew you were going to bring that one up. last one, we'll brush over that one. Any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
This is a tough one. I think a lot of us, you know, get into strength and conditioning. And for me, if it wasn't strength and conditioning, it probably would have been the military or maybe like physical therapy.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on, sharing some knowledge with us. And if the listeners want to get in touch, where can we get more? Is social media a good spot or is there a better place?
Social media would be fine. Instagram, AdamPSmith_. And also email, we go adam.smith@angels.com.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and we'll be catching up real soon now.
Yeah, sweet. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, everybody, that concludes this episode with Adam. I hope you enjoyed this one, and especially the part where we discuss building a quality training environment. Three things that I took from Adam in this episode: understand the science, but be able to coach it as well. Get around people that are smarter than yourself, and have the ability to adapt. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.